This is WMUK's West Southwest. The teen fangirl magazine Tiger Beat is going through some major changes. Last year, a group of 17 investors, including notables like TV host Nick Cannon and basketball star Kevin Durant, bought Tiger Beat for roughly $2 million. Since then, the magazine has a new look, a new website, and updated their content to better reflect today's generation of girls. Ilana Nash studies adolescence at Western Michigan University's Department of Gender and Women's Studies. WMUK's Rebecca Thiel sat down with Nash to talk about how the magazine provides a safe haven for young girls.
So for those of our listeners who have not heard of Tiger Beat, you know, what did it offer to young teen girls?
Tiger Beat magazine began in the mid-1960s as an instrument for introducing teenagers to the pop music of the day. Early issues were sort of very musically focused on important major 1960s musical acts like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. The magazine fairly quickly altered its emphasis to be more specifically about romantic fantasies about male pop stars for an imagined straight female teenage audience. So by the time the late 60s rolled around, if you look at early issues of Tiger Beat, and it's hard to find them, but there are some in archives here and there, late 1960s issues were really emphasizing domestic slash romantic fantasies for teenage and preteen readers. For example, I remember a story about the Monkees and Peter Tork, who was one of the four young men who was the Monkees. There was a story in a 1969 issue of Tiger Beat about how Peter Tork is a tortured soul who has problems and we should feel sympathy for him, caring for him in a kind of motherly, sympathetic girlfriend way. And the example of trouble that they gave is that poor, confused Peter was beating his girlfriend. But we need to have sympathy and understanding for that because he's young and he's confused. And when I read that, my hair stood on end. Then for a while, there was a pop group called Chad and Jeremy. And then there were stories about how Chad's girlfriend is the perfect woman for him because she acts like a little girl and he likes to correct her and put her in her place. And isn't that a sweet, perfect, symbiotic relationship? By the time I finished looking through old 1960s Tiger Beats, I felt like I needed a stiff drink. I didn't start reading Tiger Beat until after Second Wave Feminism started. I was reading Tiger Beat 10 years later in the late 70s. The editors had really changed focus. They had started to put a little more girl emphasis into the magazines. Not a whole lot, but there was some coverage of female pop stars and TV stars. And they'd really gotten rid of the more toxic, older messages about serving whatever emotional needs your idol might have. They still focused on domesticity and romance. Here are your idol's favorite foods so that you can imagine you're cooking them. Here's a picture of your idol making his bed, just like you have to do in the morning. And by the way, isn't it fun to see a boy in his bedroom? Right? There was always a little undertone of sex, but undertone, right? Lots of stories about their families, their favorite colors, their last vacations. The idea of Tiger Beat was to give young readers not just information about musicians and actors that they liked, but to feed a specific fantasy of identification and love.
And before the interview, we were talking about your crush on Sean Cassidy.
Oh, thank you for making that public, Rebecca. Yes, when I was 12 years old, I was obsessed with Sean Cassidy. And Tiger Beat was the source of information to facilitate my imagining that he was a real friend of mine.
But this is a very common thing. This is very accepted. You know, why is this a common thing for teen girls that we don't really see with teen boys? We don't really see that same idolization of female pop stars, for example.
That's a really good question, and a full answer could be a very long one. I'll try to give you a briefer answer. The history of adolescence, which is what I've spent most of my adult life studying, has a very bifurcated path. One path for boys, one path for girls. The path for girls has always included a sort of fetishized in-between space. You're a little girl, but before you're a woman, there's a special space called teenage girl with its own pathologies, its own styles, its own interests. Popular culture caters to that. For little boys, there's no separate in-between space. Look at the cultural markers for little boys growing up. It's sort of like boy to man. First of all, teenage boys like romantic and sexual fantasies just as much as teenage girls do, if not more. But they don't have to bother with a special magazine aimed just at them. In fact, they wouldn't, because the history of teen magazines has attempted to launch magazines for boys, and they haven't sold. Because teenage boys aren't all that much into reading, apparently. I don't know. But the other thing is that they don't need it, because they've got Playboy. The teenage boy's magazine interests in idolizing the female form have an adult outlet that they just can hop right over to. They don't need that in-between space. And that's actually something that we've seen for years in other kinds of popular culture, too. How many movies have you seen in your life? How many movies did your grandma see that had a scene where an ugly duckling teenage girl suddenly goes through her makeover and then emerges as a butterfly from the chrysalis? And there was even a popular song in the late 50s, early 60s, called From Bobby Socks to Stockings, about that interesting change that a girl goes through when she stops wearing bobby socks and starts wearing stockings. Now, how many songs have you ever heard about, I don't know, a girl singer saying about her boyfriend, "My baby had his first shave today"? You know, that doesn't happen. Popular culture doesn't create a special, set-apart, fetishized, in-between teenage space for boys. It always has for girls. The other reason I think this phenomenon has been important for girls more than boys, not to get too grim about it, but quite frankly, girls are sexually victimized more than boys are. And the problem for girls has always been, how do you experience desire and interest without becoming a target? The good girl is supposed to not have any externalized desire or interest. She's supposed to passively wait for someone to choose her. And if a girl goes out and says, "Hi, I'm in public and I'm crazy about this guy and I want him," what gets said about her? She's either a little bit nutty or a little bit slutty. And if you go out and say, "Hi, I have sexual interest now," quite frankly, there are going to be a lot of creepy old men who take you up on that in a horrifying way. So how nice it is to have a magazine that knows that you have desire, caters to your desire, in a completely safe way. The boys in those magazines are always made to look wholesome. Now, in the case of Justin Bieber, his public behavior totally shatters that myth. This is the guy who urinated in a mop bucket in a restaurant once. But the idea in the magazines is that the boy you like is a safe, wholesome character who is not going to try to grab your butt or publicly undress you or do anything that actual males do to teenage girls when they're interested in them.
Last year, Tiger Beat was purchased by a group of investors for around $2 million, rock bottom.
That's a fairly low price for a media enterprise.
Talk about some of the changes that we're seeing to Tiger Beat now.
Well, I have not seen the newest Tiger Beat myself. I know that one of their driving desires was to make Tiger Beat more relevant for the internet generation, because fewer teenagers now, regardless of gender, are sitting around reading magazines. They go to the internet for their information. And we've already seen that different branches of the publishing industry have been winnowing down, going out of business. Newsweek is gone, you know. So Tiger Beat needs to update its presence, and I know that in some of its press releases, this investment group is saying that they want to relaunch Tiger Beat in a way that kind of combines a print culture with an online culture, so that young people will be more engaged and subscribe more readily. I'm also fairly certain, having looked at issues of Tiger Beat from the early 2000s, that the obsessive, old-fashioned heterosexual fantasy element of what romance is supposed to look like is gone. I would be shocked if there are any articles in the new Tiger Beat that tell you how to cook your idol's favorite meals, or how to have sympathy for his abusive emotional problems. That not so much anymore. So thank goodness there is some progress. There will be more emphasis now on female stars, probably a lot more visual and less text. I saw that happening even in the early to mid-2000s. Tiger Beat had turned into mostly posters, very, very short articles. And probably more emphasis, more evenly divided attention, I would say, between male and female stars.
There was also mention of lifestyle kind of content, what to wear to prom, that sort of thing. And then,
right.
You know, there were even articles mentioning LGBT
girls. Now, that is delightful. That is delightful. They're really trying to tap into what we used to call zeitgeist, the general cultural attitude of the time. And LGBT rights, just within our own lifetime, have suddenly become a much bigger deal that people pay attention to and care about. So I'm glad that they're trying to work some diversity into their magazine. I'm also glad that they're trying to sort of branch out to the more lifestyle stuff as well, because that will probably garner them a better audience. In the olden days, you could have more niche magazines because people were magazine readers. That was the primary way that young people got their information about the world. Most of them weren't sitting around watching the evening news because it wasn't addressing them, right? So there were magazines for every interest you could have. Now that we live in a less magazine-laden world, you can't afford to have that many niche markets. You have to sort of bunch them together a little bit more. So if Tiger Beat really can address these gaps between print culture and online culture, between just fan worship and lifestyle, between the past of only catering to imagined heterosexual girls to expanding that to the LGBT community, that's probably good ways to keep the franchise alive.
Is there anything else that we didn't cover, anything that people need to know that we didn't talk about?
One thing I would say is that I think a challenge Tiger Beat is going to have to face now is that in the olden days, it had cornered the market, along with other magazines of its genre. The genre cornered the market on providing readers with a fantasy of relationship with their favorite stars. Magazines don't have that monopoly anymore. Now you can follow your favorite star on Twitter and see what they say with their own fingertips. You don't need a mediator anymore to have that kind of immediate access to your star. I mean, you'd still need a mediator to show you photographs of your star making their bed at home. But just the emotional sense of, I know this person, I could conceivably chat with them or read what they have to say online, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, that fosters the sense of identity and friendship that girls want with their idols. That is not something that Tiger Beat can rest on its laurels on anymore. It's going to have to work pretty hard if they want to become something that the internet alone cannot provide. And we'll see if they do.
And it's interesting that you mentioned Twitter, the fact that you actually could chat with some of your idols should they wish to respond. Or their
right.
publicist, depending on who's running the Twitter feed.
Exactly right. Every time a star tweets something, there are always comments, either shut up, star, you're crazy, or I love you, you rock, go girl. You have immediate access to a piece of the inner life of your idol. Magazines are not the go-to place to provide that anymore. So we'll see how Tiger Beat does. I wish them all the best. I like the idea of a safe space for girls to have a romantic fantasy at that age.
Well, Ilana Nash, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Rebecca. It was a pleasure being here.
Ilana Nash is a professor of gender and women's studies at Western Michigan University. She spoke with WMUK's Rebecca Thiel. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.